For Connecticut Public Radio, I'm John Henry Smith. A lot has been made since all the networks declared Joe Biden to be the president-elect about the series of losses the Trump campaign has suffered in court as it scuffles to find a way to keep President Trump in the White House. Less talked about is the Trump White House's string of losses in court regarding their efforts to neuter the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, a.k.a. DACA. Among the groups who have been instrumental in foisting these defeats on the Trump administration is the Worker and Immigrant Rights Advocacy Clinic at Yale Law School and Partners to Protect Dreamers. Representing that group on today's show is Associate Law Professor Marisol Orihuela and law student Maida Swaminathan. Marisol, a federal court Friday ordered the Trump administration to reopen DACA to first-time applicants. What will be the immediate ramifications for undocumented immigrants who came to the United States as children?
So we are thrilled about the win that we secured on Friday. We have been fighting this case actually since 2016. Our clinic, alongside with our co-counsel, the National Immigration Law Center, and Make the Road New York, litigated both the Trump administration's attempt to rescind DACA on September 5th, 2017, that was set aside by the Supreme Court earlier this year in the case known as Regents, and then most recently have been litigating and just won whether defendant Chad Wolf, purportedly acting Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, could lawfully modify, as he tried to do in July, the terms of the DACA program. And the federal court agreed with us that he could not, and set aside in important ways the decision.
For those who don't know, I mean, the crux of why Chad Wolf is important is he wrote a policy memo that the judge in the most recent case said Wolf didn't have the authority to write. That memo ordered the rejection of all pending and future initial requests for DACA. And before that, the loss for the Trump administration came before the Supreme Court because the Supreme Court ruled that DHS's attempt to end DACA was not adequately explained. And what I take from all of that is that key to these losses has been the general incompetence of the Trump administration's attempts in this matter. How would this have gone different with a more competent attack?
Clearly, the way that the Trump administration has gone to it by in its attack of the DACA program has been important to the rulings that we have secured. Nevertheless, you know, when DACA was implemented by the Obama administration, it was done so through a lot of careful thought of that administration. The Office of Legal Counsel wrote a thorough memorandum concluding that it was that the executive had the authority to implement the program. So I don't know that we could say, a better attack would have meant that DACA would have ended this past administration. What is clear is that the Trump administration has been playing with the lives of immigrant youth, trying to use them as pawns for, you know, on the Hill for trying to pass regressive immigration policies and also, you know, launching xenophobic attacks on immigrants, on Latinx and others. So those are all things that we are glad to almost be out of the way for, and looking forward to an administration that has already stated its commitment to the Dreamer population, and looking forward to an administration that hopefully leads Congress to a permanent solution for Dreamers.
I imagine that you all have run across real people who are affected by this. Do you have a story from one or more of those real people whose lives are going to be impacted by this?
Our clients have named plaintiffs who are seeking to apply for the first time, including an individual who was about to become eligible in September 2017 and was getting her application ready. She was days away from eligibility, and it was only because the Trump administration issued the memorandum to try to rescind DACA that she was unable to apply for the first time, and now she can apply for the first time and live, hopefully, in a much better state of uncertainty in the country.
Maida, I'll throw this question to you. Has there been a moment during this struggle, this fight, that sticks out to you as particularly dramatic, impactful?
For our team of lawyers and law students working on this case, a team made up entirely of immigrants, first-generation Americans, and a former DACA recipient. And so to work alongside people who have personal experience with these issues and to have personal experience with immigrant rights issues myself, this isn't just like a legal victory for us. This is a win that validates that immigrants belong in this country and that we as immigrants are empowered to fight. I am a first-generation American. Both of my parents are immigrants. And my mother actually only naturalized to become a citizen, I believe, in 2016, almost directly in response to kind of the pressure and concern around immigration in the months leading up to the 2016 election. And so the fear and uncertainty that the Trump administration has caused immigrants around this country is also something that really resonates personally with me and my family.
How hopeful are you that the positive DACA momentum will continue with Joe Biden as president? He has, of course, pledged to fully reinstate DACA once he takes office on January 20th.
What'll be really important with an incoming Biden administration is to concretize this DACA policy through legislative action, because, you know, the executive action is subject to attack, as you've seen, but legislative action will really insulate the DACA program from attack. And that's why it's so important for the Biden administration to lead a charge to pass the DREAM Act.
And I have a lot of hope in the Biden-Harris administration. They have been very clear about their intention to protect this population. Obviously, people know that Congress is very divided. There's no kind of false illusions about the state of Congress right now. But both through executive action and through leadership in Congress, this administration and I believe will hold itself to the promises that it has made to the population. And this movement of immigrant youth is such a powerful movement that this is not the end. I think that this is a great place to be with a great win in court, but lots more to do, and young people who are very committed to these issues and who have expressed that they are in this fight to win permanent relief.
Well, you say that the Biden administration, that you have full confidence that they will continue to push forward on DACA, but there are significant obstacles in their path. Let's finish up by talking about two. First, the Supreme Court. DACA got its favorable ruling this summer by a 5-4 vote, with the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg being the deciding vote. Her successor, of course, Amy Coney Barrett, is a conservative. She gives the court a 6-3 conservative majority. Many of the justices have expressed negative thoughts about DACA already. How worried are you about DACA's future with the Supreme Court constituted as it is?
It's definitely a less friendly court than it was prior to Justice Ginsburg's passing. I am shy to make predictions right now, given that we are just, you know, less than 2 months away from an incoming administration that has options at its disposal. So the Biden administration can think of new ways, a new policy, and what it has stated it will do is restore the 2012 DACA policy, but it has other options for administrative relief actions for this population that may be suitable for the Supreme Court. We know that there are litigation. You can't control litigation, so we don't know exactly what litigation will look like under the Biden administration. But and I do think that ultimately, you know, what the movement has is very clear, and so are we as litigators. Ultimately, what this country needs is a solution that is legislative and for Congress to pass the DREAM Act. But many people thought that we the litigants did not stand a chance after September of 2017, and here we are 3 years later with the program alive. So I don't want to bet against us when we've shown that through obstacles we have been able to protect the program in the court.
Well, we'll finish with this. Another headwind that the Biden administration will be facing in terms of restoring DACA to its 2012 state of being and possibly even strengthening it from there is the Republican-led Senate, which will be the case if, as expected, the GOP wins at least one of the two Senate seats up for grabs in the Georgia runoff election. A Republican-led Senate, as you know, is likely to stand in the way of a Biden-preferred DHS secretary nominee. And the judge in this most recent case opined that presidents in general have only limited authority to make use of acting appointments, you know, those appointments that the Trump administration has made such liberal use of. Couldn't that mean that it will be difficult for the Biden administration to implement its more DACA-friendly vision?
I think it depends. I think it's probably the fairest answer I can give you on that question, John. So right now, the state of affairs in the DACA program is that the government has stated its intent to comply with the federal court's order, and it is accepting applications both for renewal, DACA terms, initial terms of DACA, and advanced parole. If that is what ends up kind of being the status quo come January, February, that there's not a significant roadblock that McConnell or a Republican-led Congress can implement if it is in the event that new changes, executive changes, come into play. There are some tricky issues ahead, and I think that what we are hoping for, well, one is hoping for not a Republican-led Congress, but you know, there are a number of Republicans that support the DREAM Act. So this is not an issue that should be kept from the voting floor. It should be an issue that a clean DREAM Act should go to the voting floor. And if it does, we do think that the votes are there to pass the DREAM Act and provide permanent relief to this population.
Associate Law Professor Marisol Orihuela and law student Maida Swaminathan of the Worker and Immigrant Rights Advocacy Clinic at Yale Law School. Thank you both so much for your time.
Thanks so much.